Would the members please indicate their presence by voting? Madam Clerk.
24 members present.
We have a quorum. Madam Majority Leader.
May the record reflect that Representatives Coring, Masick, and Scalzi have been previously excused from the call of the House today.
Record will so reflect. We'll wait just a moment for one or two more to join us. All right. Leading the invocation today is Pastor Damon Gary of the Restoration Grace Outreach Center. The members, please rise for the invocation.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, as this assembly begins a new day of debate and deliberation on matters of state, give each one a measure of understanding and appreciation for one another. Remind each that party lines represent differences of ideology, but each are still part of humanity. Everyone needs to be appreciated, respected, and loved. May each one know the experience of the prophet Isaiah in his words. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the words that will sustain the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to listen like one been taught. The Bible states that the tongue is the power in it of life and death, blessings and curse. I pray that each one will be generous in praise, cautious in criticism. And as this assembly debates issues, may wisdom prevail and self-respect remain intact. Lord, give each a spirit of harmony so that each one's distinct sound is tuned and heard at the right time, thereby creating a great symphony. Bless this House of Representatives, each one's family and staff. Bless this state and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. Representative Coghill, would you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Would the clerk please certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th legislative days and House Direct Journal Supplement Number 8.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal, as certified by the Chief Clerk, be approved.
Without objection, the journal has been certified. Do we have guests this morning for introduction? Representative Foster.
Oh, yes, sir. I've got two dear friends of mine in the gallery behind me in the corner. One is the former mayor of Nome, 8 terms as the mayor of Nome, and now he's the head of the Nome Joint Utility System. If you'll please stand, John Hanlon. Thank you. And also, I've got a dear friend of mine that I served on the school board in Nome 20 years ago, and her and I also served on the Nome Common Council, and she's still on the Nome Common Council. She owns the Arctic gift shop there. I thought I'd put in a plug for that. And a dear friend of mine, Mary Knodel. Please help me welcome them to Juneau.
Any other guests? Representative Lancaster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have two good friends in the Tate Gallery, and if you could help me welcome Stan Pitlow. He's the general manager for Morris Communications for Alaska, and also his editor of the Clarion, Lori Evans.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is my honor to introduce a constituent of mine behind me in the Paratrovich Gallery, who is better known as the wife of the senator from my district, Juanita Cowdery. We miss her in the gallery, and it's a pleasure to see her today. If you'd please stand.
Inside joke. Any other guests? Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the Taylor Gallery is a gentleman that we've all acknowledged here before, Mike Miller, who is a champion in the battle against prostate cancer. He is here back in Juneau. He had to move so that he could be a little closer to medical attention down in the lower 48. But he came back up to be one of the torchbearers in the coming carrying the torch here in Juneau for the Olympics, and I'd like you all to please help me welcome Mike Miller.
Any other guests? Seeing none, do we have messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the other body?
There are no messages from the other body.
We have communications.
We received the following reports. Department of Health and Social Services, Office of the Commissioner, INSTEP, the Plan, Comprehensive Integrated Mental Health Plan, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Mining, Land, and Water, 2002 report to the legislature, notification of annual mining report, land disposal income fund report, notification of annual report on water removals and exports from the Department of Revenue, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, the 2001 annual report, and from the Department of Administration, Division of Retirement and Benefits, summary of retirees returned to public employment January 8, 2002. I have no further communication.
Reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 30, Desecration of U.S. Flag, recommending DuPass, Wilson, Stevens, James, State, Coghill. No recommendation, Hayes. The report was signed by Coghill Chair. A zero fiscal note was attached. House Joint Resolution 30 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 334, Appropriation Grant to Arctic Power for ANWR, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 334 Finance with the same title, recommending DuPass, Williams, Mulder, Harris, Croft, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster. No recommendation, Davies and Moses. The report was signed by Williams and Mulder, co-chairs. House Bill 334 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introductions of resolutions or citations.
Citation, honoring John M. Brower by Representative Meyer, honoring Jacob Adams by Representative Jewell and Senator Olson, honoring William Elliott by Representative Masick, honoring Larry Erickson by Representative Lancaster, honoring Stephanie Thompson by Representative Masick, honoring Alaska's 2002 Olympic torchbearers by Senator Elton and Representative Mulder, honoring Michelle Kennedy by Senator Taylor and Representative Wilson, in memoriam Kevin Christopher by Representative Jewell, in memoriam Tommy Reed Corr III by Representative Lancaster, in memoriam Milton Turkington Jr. by Representative Scalzi and Lancaster, in memoriam Michael K. McDonald by Senator Phillips. House Joint Resolution 32. By Representative Dyson, encouraging the United States Board of Geographic Names to adopt place name changes proposed by the Alaska Historical Commission.
Will be referred to Community Regional Affairs and Resources.
House Joint Resolution 33, by Representative James, and expressing gratitude to President George W. Bush, to the President's Cabinet, and to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, and declaring support for the war on terrorism.
House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs.
House Joint Resolution 34 by Representative James, requesting the members of the Alaska delegation in the United States Senate to urge the Majority Leader of the United States Senate to allow President George W. Bush's economic security package to receive a vote.
Refer to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
House Joint Resolution 35 by Representative James, relating to urging the United States Congress to amend the tax code to permanently repeal the death tax.
And that will be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Do we have bills for introduction?
House Bill 346 by Representative Masick, entitled An Act Relating to Concealed Handgun Permittees.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 347 by Representative Coghill, entitled An Act Relating to Benefits for State Officers and Employees Initially Hired After June 30, 2002.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 348 by Representative Croft, entitled An Act Relating to Violations of Domestic Violence Protective Orders.
Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 349 by Representative Dyson, entitled An Act Relating to Agency Programs and Financial Plans.
To the Finance Committee.
There are no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar, but it is also a good time, I think, to take an at ease in preparation for the joint session. But first, Representative Foster.
Briefly back.
Without objection.
Yeah, the lady in red behind me in the front row, dear friend to all of Alaskans, she served 35 years with U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Barb Andrews Means, please help me welcome her here.
Okay, we will take an at. No, we won't. Representative Mulder.
Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to follow up on that introduction. For those who don't know, Barb did retire from working with Senator Stevens after distinguished service, and it took me 6 months of talking to her, requesting that she fill the vacancy that we had with the Joint Armed Services Committee, and she now is the staff person to the Joint Armed Services Committee and doing a wonderful job, and we're lucky to have her.
Very good, very good. So now, if there are no other guests, we will stand at ease in preparation for the joint session, but please in place, and we will have a continued calendar after the joint session, so don't get lost. Order. Again, that brings us to the consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's agenda?
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 68 by Representative Roquebrune, entitled An Act Relating to Civil Liability for Transporting an Intoxicated Person or for Driving an Intoxicated Person's Motor Vehicle and Providing for an Effective Date. The Transportation Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 68, Transportation, with the same title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending due pass, Kapsner, Kukesh, Wilson, Scalzi, Ogun, no recommendation, Masick. The report was signed by Masick, Vice Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 68, Judiciary, with the new title, recommending due pass, James Roquebrune, no recommendation, Berkowitz, Coghill, and Kukesh. The report was signed by Roquebrune Chair. The Rules Committee submitted an updated fiscal note. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 68 with the new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have that committee substitute before us. Are there amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Roquebrune to page 2, line 22.
Representative Roquebrune.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number one.
Without objection, amendment number one is passed. Any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for sponsor substitute HB 68 Judiciary be considered engrossed in advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill 68, Judiciary amended, entitled An Act Relating to Accidents Involving the Vehicle of a Person Under the Influence of an Alcoholic Beverage and Providing for an Effective Date.
Discussion. Representative Roquebrune.
Mr. Speaker, this legislation before us was requested by the Alaska Char, the Anchorage Downtown Partnership, the Downtown Licensed Beverage Association, and the taxi companies that do business in the Anchorage area in order to implement what is called the off-the-road program. What this is, Mr. Speaker, is the program allows two taxi drivers to take an inebriated drinker home with his vehicle. And as the program in Anchorage is contemplated, the cost of this activity would be borne by the establishments, the Downtown Partnership in Anchorage, as well as other corporate sponsorship. However, I would point out, Mr. Speaker, that this particular statute will allow this type of activity to occur throughout the state. You know, many drinkers are really reluctant to leave their dearest possession many times, their vehicle, in a parking lot for fear of vandalization and so forth, as well as particularly in the downtown area in Anchorage or any other urban area of the state where they're that particular vehicle could be towed or impounded because of street restrictions. as well as the substantial inconvenience there is and the cost of getting that out, as well as coming back the next morning. So this gives the patron and the operator of the licensed premise an alternate tool or way in which at that particular crucial decision point, that person who may be imbibing of John Barleycorn or other beverages, the question about whether can I or should I drive home tonight? It's a very, very, very difficult question. But many times people make the wrong choice because they say, well, my car is going to get impounded, or I need to get to work in the morning. I really have to take that chance. I'll make that wrong decision, particularly if they're on the edge and do make that wrong decision. This gives a tool to those people to help that particular patron make the right decision. And I think by enacting House Bill 68, we will make that program work and take one more step in making our roads safer. Because, Mr. Speaker, the point in fact is the program is not working now as it's contemplated because it would take a $1,000 a month insurance premium for each cab in the Anchorage or any other community in the state to be able to do this. Specifically, the bill itself grants immunity to the typical list of defendants in any kind of a dram shop liability case and the taxi operators to allow the off-the-road program to work. But moreover, Mr. Speaker, it does protect a potential third party or the consumer, that innocent third party, by creating an implied consent provision in subsection D of the bill. This provision allows a suit against the insurer of the patron's vehicle, which is being driven by the second taxi driver, as well as subsection C's provisions of a waiver immunity in those cases of gross negligence, recklessness, or intentional misconduct. Like the point here is that if in fact that second cab driver driving down the patron's car does something that's reckless or negligent, or grossly negligent, there's a cause of action still existing. The immunity is taken away. But also, if in fact there is less than that, and any damage that could occur by on the part of the second driver, there is still a right to seek damages from the insurance that goes with the vehicle of that patron. So I think we've done two things here. And that's why this bill is a little bit dicey and difficult to draft to make sure that we've maintained those consumer protections as well as provided the immunity needed for the program to work. With that, I think this is good Samaritan legislation. The bill protects the people trying to make our streets safe for all Alaskans, and I urge your support.
Representative Rookberg. Representative Croft, brief at ease.
If I could just talk for a brief, sir.
House, please come back to order. Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I called that easy to get a point of clarification from the sponsor. You know, I have a fair amount of trouble with the tendency to create immunity bills every time we have, or it seems to me to be often when we have these difficult issues. This is a difficult issue, and we're trying to do a good thing here. We're trying to allow the taxi cab drivers to do this program to help reduce drunk driving, support that initiative. The problem really is that we have an insurance problem. And in the backup materials, they reference it, particularly the news article talks about you either have to immunize people, which is the course that this bill has taken, or solve the state insurance problem that insurance runs with the car. I would have preferred that we approach it in that second way. That is, we have had a tradition in this country of individual responsibility for our actions. And we undermine that every time we say, but here's something we want you to do. You're no longer responsible for your conduct in this area that we want to promote. I'd much rather we'd approached how do we solve the insurance running with the car in this odd situation of a person who has asked another to drive their car for very good social reasons. But after conferring with, and so if it were simply section C that talks about if you're negligent, simple negligence, we're not going to hold you responsible, you being the taxi cab driver that's driving that car. That disturbs me greatly. It disturbs me greatly because what we miss in that discussion is the person who is injured. if it is me or my child who is struck by the person, the taxi cab driver, driving that car negligently, they're not responsible. It disturbs me on a social level to say over and over in different specified areas, places where you are not responsible for your conduct. It goes against, I think, a lot of the precepts that we have in this country. So I don't like the attempt to say, in this area or that, you're no longer responsible when you're negligent. I think you should, as a general rule, be responsible when you're negligent. The reason I think that this piece of legislation takes one step beyond that simple immunity idea and may be palatable for that reason is the section that follows in Section D, which is why I took the at ease to consult. It says, in effect, that the individual taxi cab driver, C says the individual taxi cab driver is not responsible except in gross negligent or intentional misconduct, but that or reckless. But that the Section D says that because there was an implied consent, because there was a consent to drive the car, the drivers, that is the intoxicated person in this case, insurance may still be liable. So this bill, unlike other immunity bills I've seen, has two levels. The taxi cab driver themselves liable for gross negligence, reckless, or intentional misconduct. The insurance company for the person who asked them to drive may be liable. So that double amount of protection for an innocent victim here comes much closer, and I wanted to put it on the record because I think it's a very important point. It's simply not your standard garden variety immunity bill, but that Section D has a very different characteristic that I think is important for this piece of legislation.
Thank you, Representative Croft. Any other discussion? Representative Davies?
Thank you. I appreciated that previous discussion because I struggled through the bill and finally came to that same sort of understanding of it, and if that's the understanding of it, then it is a lot more palatable. There is one other little kind of area that I think we ought to be aware of, and that is on page 2 of the bill, about line 3 and 4, this subsection 4 of A, it's either the request of the motor vehicle owner or a law enforcement officer. So you can have the circumstance where a law enforcement officer instructs the second cabbie to take your car home, and where then you as the person whose car is being driven home are liable for whatever that person does, as long as it's not gross negligence or reckless or intentional. So there, we should be aware of that we are allowing the police in this case to instruct something to happen where you may be liable for it. Now, probably in most circumstances, that would be appropriate, but that's one last little troubling area of the bill that I'm still working through in my head. I'll probably support the bill, but I'm going to be thinking about that area a little bit in the next couple of days to see if there's any way to that we ought to fix that. Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe it's fine the way it is, but it is a little bit troubling that you could end up being liable for something that somebody else does, not on your instruction. Thank you.
Representative Cisna?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do want to add something. I can't listen to this bill without thinking about the fact that we're worrying about the car, we're worrying about the insurance companies, the taxi drivers, worrying about the state of the car and the driver. And as we were just told, domestic violence is such an incredible problem in this state. We have someone being driven home, and we all know that domestic violence and alcohol go hand in hand. So I hope that while we're worrying about the car and the insurance companies and the people who sell alcohol, we also are thinking about prevention in every way we can. Thank you.
Representative Sisson, any further discussion? We're ready for the question. Question before the body is Shell Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 68, Judiciary. Effective date, amended. Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, CS for SS for HB 68 Judiciary has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause has passed the House. Will the clerk please read the next item?
There are citations on today's calendar.
Madam Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar are approved. It brings us to unfinished business. We have items of unfinished business. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from the call of the House for the following times. Representative Dyson from 7 a.m. Saturday, January 26 to 9:45 p.m. Sunday, January 27. Representative Masick from 12 p.m. Thursday, February 14 to 9:30 p.m. Plain Time Tuesday, February 19. And extend Representative Ogun's previously excused absence from Thursday, February 14 until 9:35 p.m. Flight Time Monday, February 18.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused on the dates and times indicated by the Majority Leader. Brings us to unfinished business. Are there any other items of unfinished business? Committee announcements. Representative Dyson.
Thank you. There's no HES committee meeting today. And if I may, while I'm up, there's a Right to Life rally out on the steps here when we're done with this meeting. Thank you.
Representative Dyson. Representative Chenault.
Mr. Speaker, yeah, today at 4 o'clock, Military and Veterans Affairs will continue an overview of the governor's proposed homeland budget at 4 o'clock in room 124.
Representative Chenault. Any other committee announcements? Regular announcements. Special orders. Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. We've got a birthday today. Today it's the last one in January. And it's the charming lady that sits to the right of my good friend from Angoon. I wonder if I could read her horoscope and her biography briefly.
Without objection.
Yes, sir. Her horoscope today is, she's an Aquarius. And it says that you're extremely well-equipped today to handle projects of a mental nature. You will be able to perceive things from both a practical and a creative vantage point. She's House District 17, Mr. Speaker. She was born on January 22, 1971. I don't know if I should say the date. Place of birth was Portland, Oregon. Her husband is Scott McCracken. And she says that she likes men to behave like men, strong and childish. They couldn't afford a honeymoon, Mr. Speaker. Instead of Niagara Falls, they drove through a car wash real slow in Anchorage. She went through Willamette University, and her major was speech communications, political science, and she also has a degree in law. She's in her first term in the House. Prior to that, she was a legal intern in the U.S. Attorney's Office in 1996, and also the legislative and press aide for U.S. Senator Ted Stevens in 1993, 4, and 5. She's belonged to Commonwealth North and also the Young Republicans, and her special interests: fishing, skiing, flying, scuba diving, reading. Her hobby is collecting compliments all of her life. So far, she's gotten 3. And in her statement, she says timing has a lot to do with the outcome of a rain dance. Please stand and join me in singing Happy Birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Liesl. Happy birthday to you.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to my friends in the House. You've now become my friends. And I really want to especially thank the member from Nome, who has just a very special way of brightening all of our lives. And finally, it is an honor and a privilege to be born in the same month as Fluffy.
Any other special orders? Representative Davies.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 68.
Notice of reconsideration has been served on 68. Representative Brookberg.
Mr. Speaker, permission to speak on getting it right.
Without objection.
This is to the member from Norton Sound as an alumni of Willamette University. Get it right.
But there's a Willamette in Illinois. Any other special orders? Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, January 23.
See you tomorrow.